And we're going to stand there to read verses 1 through 12. John chapter 18 and verses 1 through 12. So you're quicker than me, aren't you? John chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. Just let the preacher figure out where to find the Gospel of John in the Bible. That'll work. John chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall not I drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this wonderful Gospel of John that we've been looking at over the last several months. And Lord, I pray that today you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that everyone here would desire to hear from you and to listen to you and have a spirit that would be submissive to you. And Lord, if we're convicted by your word, if as your spirit tries to speak to us and convict us and teach us and help us, Father, help us to listen. There may be some in this room that have a need this morning for the main man, the main figure, the main character of this book. There may be some that have a need for the Savior, a need for the Redeemer. God, I pray you'd show them that need in their life. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. Judas had already left Jesus and the others when they were in the upper room. He'd gone away. And Judas came here to find them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he came with a band of soldiers and officers. Hundreds of men came to take him by force. But no force was necessary. Remember, we talked about it last week, his majesty and his meekness. They didn't need to come. No force was necessary. Jesus actually stepped up and presented himself as the one whom they came to arrest. Verse 3 said that the men and officers carried weapons, but those weapons were not needed because Jesus would willingly be taken. Jesus knew the hour was come. Jesus knew the time had come. Jesus knew it was time for him to go and to the cross and to die for our sins. He knew the time was come to fulfill his purpose for coming down to the earth. In verse number 12, it said that the soldiers took Jesus and they bound him. They bound him. Again, the truth is that no chains were necessary. No shackles were necessary. No cords were necessary to bind him. He would not try to escape from what was to come, because what was to come was what he came to do. It was why he came to earth. It was Christ's love for us that made him willing to die for our sins. It was Christ's love that caused him to not retaliate, to not defend himself when he was accused. It was the love of Christ that caused him to be willing to place himself right into the hands of the captors that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. The religious rulers, we know, they hated Jesus. They plotted against him. They plotted his death. Again, but the truth is, it was God's love for mankind that planned the death of God's Son. It was God's love ultimately that planned this night would come and planned that Jesus would be taken and planned that Jesus would go to the cross and die for our sins. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It was in the heart of God. It was in the mind of God. It was in the plan of God that Jesus would die. God, in His foreknowledge, He knew that His creation would sin. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin against Him. And so God, in His love, devised a plan to redeem mankind back to Himself, to buy us back. You know, we ought to belong to God first because we're His creation. He's the Creator, we're the creation. But man sinned and man broke fellowship. Man broke the relationship with God. But what did He do? He redeemed us. He bought us back at Calvary with what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. God's plan all along was for Christ to die. It was God's Son that was chosen to play the starring role in the script. Jesus gets all the glory, and He will forever be glorified in eternity because He purchased our redemption. You know what? One day up in heaven, we're not going to glory. We're not going to boast in ourselves. We're not going to be, hey, look at me. Look at what I did. Look at the great life I live. Hey, that's why I'm here. No, we won't boast. We won't glory in ourselves. We won't have made it to heaven by our own good works or righteousness. We will only be in heaven one day if we've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We'll only be in heaven one day if we've trusted in the Lamb of God who became the sacrifice for our sins and who died there for us willingly as a substitute, the one who took our place. I want you to turn to a couple passages with me. First in Romans chapter 3, and then we'll also look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 we'll get to in a moment. Also Romans 3 we'll look at first. If you can look at those with me, they're both in the New Testament scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2 and also Romans chapter number 3. What a Savior we have. Listen, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Romans chapter 3, and look at verses 23 down through verse number 28. It says, for all have sinned. Does that include you? Does that include me? It sure does. For all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who does He justify? Those that believe, those that trust Christ. Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. It's not allowed. There's no place for it. There's no boasting that we can do when we understand that we're just sinners saved by the grace of God and the goodness of God. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, we come to this conclusion, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's not our trying to keep the law. It's not the works that we do that can save us. It's our faith in the Son of God, our Redeemer and our Savior and our friend who gave His life for us on Calvary. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Some of you, if you've known Christ for a while, you probably even have these verses in your heart. But it says Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me as well. Back to the left a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Listen, we're saved by the gospel. We're saved because of the power of God to save us. We're saved because Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God and died on the cross for our sins. The verses that follow it make it very clear that God doesn't save people because of all the good that they do. He doesn't save us because of the works that we do. We're only saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. If you still have your Bible, open there to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go, look down to verse 29. He makes it clear in this chapter that we're not saved by our works and so on. Then verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Listen, we're not going to be up in heaven one day boasting that, hey, look at me! Woo! I was the best person in my community. I was the best person in my family. Look at all the good that I did. Look at all the kind things I did for the poor. Look at all the works that I did. We won't get to heaven by any boasting. We won't get to heaven and be up there being able to boast and be proud and look at me and look at the life that I lived and look what I did. No, I think we'll all fall humbly at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll get all the glory because of what He did for our salvation. We won't be able to gloat. We won't be able to glory in ourselves. We won't be able to boast in and of ourselves. Why is it? It's because God did it all that no flesh should glory in His presence. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit for saving us. Look at these verses again. 1 Corinthians 1, 29 to 31. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Christ died on the cross to purchase our salvation. Christ died on the cross to redeem us. And listen, He is the one that deserves all the glory. All the glory. In Revelation chapter 5, it describes a future event that will take place. It tells us of a time when the Son of God, when the Lamb of God, when Jesus Christ will be wonderfully glorified. People are going to fall down at His feet to worship Him. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it tells us of a time that they will sing a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. Remember the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I think choirs of angels will be able to sing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and honor and glory. Listen, what was it? It was the love of God that brought Jesus down to earth. It was the love of Christ for us that brought Him down and made Him willing to die and to suffer for us on the cross of Calvary. And He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of all the love and all the glory and all the honor that we could possibly ever give Him. To us who are sinners, Jesus Christ is our Savior, if we believe on Him. To us who are sinners, that's me, and I think that includes you too. Listen, to us who are sinners, Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's a friend to sinners. He died for you because He loves you. Will you trust Him? Listen, He loves you. He died for you. He gave His life for you. Even when we sin, He still loves us and He offers us forgiveness and He wants to restore us. Turn back with me to John chapter 18, if you would. John chapter 18. When Jesus Christ was bound, when Jesus Christ was taken by the soldiers, Peter was one of those who followed. But the Bible says he followed, but not too closely. Not too closely. Look what it says in verses 12 to 18. John chapter 18, verses 12 through 18. It says, Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him. And led Him away to Annas first, for He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, that's John. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. I am not. He denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them. Peter stood with them and warmed himself. It was on this night, it was in this difficult situation that Peter three times denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. Look what it says down in verse 25 to 27. It says in Simon Peter, verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew, the rooster crowed. We read in other gospel accounts, the Bible tells us that Peter actually went out and wept. Once he knew that he'd done what the Lord said he would do, that he denied his Savior, he denied his Redeemer, he denied his friend three times that night, he actually went out and wept bitterly. He knew the words of the Lord Jesus Christ had come true. The man who had so boldly pledged his allegiance to Christ ended up denying him in a moment of fear. We don't always find it as easy to live out our love for him, do we, as we can to just sing it. The Lord Jesus was on his way to the cross. The Lord Jesus was on his way to die for the sins of Peter so that Peter could be forgiven. Listen, in spite of what Peter had done, Jesus was still to him a Savior and a Redeemer and a friend. And listen, he'll be your Savior. And he'll be your Redeemer and he'll be your friend if you'll place your trust in him. I'm so glad that even though there may be times when we fail him, when we sin against him, he still loves us. When I fail, when you fail, when we sin, I'm glad there's a Savior who still loves us. Listen, Peter's heart was broken that night. I think Peter went out and he wept bitterly because he was so heartbroken over the fact that he had denied the Lord Jesus. He had denied the one that he followed and spent time with, the one that he loved. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus didn't stop loving Peter. You know, sometimes if it was you and me, we'd stop loving somebody if they did something like that to us. They did something that hurt us or offended us, we'd stop loving them. But Jesus is a friend of sinners. He didn't stop loving Peter. He didn't stop loving him. Listen, a child of God may get far from God at times, but listen, God is never far from him. The Lord was not done with Peter. Jesus still found Peter after his death and burial and resurrection, and he still showed his love to Peter. Listen, Jesus' love for Peter wasn't conditional. Jesus' love for Peter didn't depend on what Peter was doing. No, Jesus loved Peter because that's what he does. He's love. And he's a friend of sinners. He's the Redeemer of sinners. He's the Savior to sinners. He's a friend to sinners. I'm glad we have a Savior and a Redeemer and a friend who will take us back when we mess up, who will forgive us when we sin if we confess our sins. What does the Bible say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I'm glad he'll forgive us. I'm glad he'll take us back. I'm glad he'll restore our relationship. And he will even bless us, and he will even be willing to use us again. Peter would go on and live a blessed life. Peter would go on and be used of Christ in a great and wonderful way. Listen, God chose to use Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost, on a day when thousands of people would hear his message. After Christ's ascension, Peter would get up, Peter would stand, and Peter would be bold in preaching about the resurrection of Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God worked. The Spirit of God worked in great power, and thousands were saved, and thousands were baptized in one day. How? God used Peter. Why? Because he's still a friend. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior of sinners. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a friend Jesus Christ is to all those who will trust Him. If you'll trust Him completely, if you'll believe on Him, if you'll trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins, if you'll trust Him as your personal Savior, if you'll believe in the gospel that He died for you, you can be saved. He loves you and wants you to be saved. Listen, He loves us, and He never stops loving us. He never stops loving us. Do you know this morning, Samuel, that Jesus loves you? You know, one of the greatest songs you can ever learn in your whole life is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Hey, He loves you. You know why our Savior took those nail prints? You know why our Savior has those nail scars? Because He died for you, because He loves you. He wants you to know Him. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to take all your sin away. He wants to redeem you. He wants to bring you back into a relationship with the God, the Creator of this universe. And it's a better than even just a creation relationship. It's a family relationship. It's to become a child of God and to have God in heaven become your heavenly Father. Boy, that's good. He's your Savior. And He wants to be your Redeemer. And He wants to be your friend. Your friend. Do you know Him like I know Him? Do you know Jesus? I don't mean do you just know about Jesus. I mean, do you really know Jesus this morning? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is He your Redeemer? Have you been doubting if He could still possibly love you or use you? Hey, don't doubt. Believe. Believe. He still used Peter. He didn't stop loving Peter. You might think, oh, but my past. Listen, God will forgive us of our past. If you want forgiveness, He'll offer it. He makes the record clean. You can make things right with the Lord at any time when things are not right. There is a God in heaven who loves you. Jesus Christ is a Savior. And He's a Redeemer and He's a friend. Don't doubt that He still loves you. Don't doubt that He can still use you. Do you know Him like I know Him? Do you doubt that He could still use you? Do you doubt that He still loves you? You don't have to doubt that. Listen, do you need His forgiveness personally in your own life this morning? What did the Bible say? Maybe Matthew chapter 1, somewhere in there. You know, when the angel came to tell about Jesus was going to be born and so on. And His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save you from your sin. He came so you could be forgiven of your sin. He saved you so that you could be saved from the punishment of what you do deserve. He came to save us from the hell that we do deserve so that we can have a home in heaven for all eternity. Listen, it's real. If you don't know Jesus this morning, God wants you to know Him as a Savior and as a Redeemer and as friend. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus into this world to die for us. Thank You, Father, for sending Your Son. It was in Your plan that He would be slain even before the foundation of the world. You had a plan. You knew that we'd mess up. You knew that we would sin. And you devised a plan in your heart of love. A plan to redeem us. A plan to save us. A plan to forgive us. A plan to restore us that we could have a relationship with you and spend eternity with you. A home in heaven, eternal life. It's a free gift of God. But it's only for those who believe. It's only for those who will trust in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone as their personal Savior. If you don't know for sure without any doubts that heaven's your home and Jesus is your Savior and Jesus is your Redeemer, listen, God wants you to know that. God wants you to get that settled. I'm praying for you. I care about you. I want you to know Christ like I know him.